In this new segment of Advisor Revelations, the DPL team will discuss how to evaluate new solutions and address current challenges and the strategies that can help you grow your firm and AUM.
Welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast. I'm Cam McRae, a Regional Vice President of Member Success at DPL Financial Partners. Today, we will discuss how advisors should plan for annuity utilization in 2025. First, I'd like to introduce our guest, Logan Cheatham, who is a consultant at DPL Financial Partners and has daily conversations with advisors across the country about implementing annuities into their practice. Logan, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Cam. I appreciate being here.
Before we start our discussion today, I want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming app for updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to connect with a DPL consultant at our website, dplfp.com. All right, Logan, so that our listeners have a better understanding of your role with DPL and your experience, can you share a little bit more about yourself and what you do day-to-day at DPL Financial?
Yeah, most definitely, Cam. So I've been with DPL since May of 22 and became a consultant at the beginning of 2023. My day-to-day world involves working with advisors from one-person shops that have less than $50 million in assets up to working with firms that are $5 billion plus roll-up firms. And the typical conversations that we have is how can annuities improve their current financial plan, and also reviewing those current annuities that clients potentially have to make sure that they're working optimally for that financial plan for them. This is also a way to generate organic revenue for the firm, just because these held away assets can now be brought under the advisor chassis.
Great. Thanks for sharing. To remind our listeners today, we're going to be discussing a game plan for 2025 and how advisors are thinking and should be thinking about annuity utilization moving forward to 2025. So we do have three topics. We'll start with what I call fixed income alternatives. So essentially why advisors are looking at commission-free annuities to supplement or utilize as an alternative to traditional fixed income solutions. Traditional fixed income solutions meaning individual bonds, bond funds, CDs, treasuries, whatever it may be. We've seen a lot of utilization. I think we'll continue to see that trend. So I guess first question for you, Logan, what types of annuity products are advisors looking at to utilize as an alternative for their fixed income portfolios?
I would say one of the more simple products that we have that's easier for clients and advisors to understand is multi-year guaranteed annuities. The acronym you'll hear us use is MIGAs. And if you're familiar with commission products, the term you might be familiar with is fixed annuities. We've been seeing a lot of these alternatives come into play in Q3 and Q4. And I believe the reason we've been seeing a lot of flows into those strategies is because we are still in a high interest rate environment. And typically, insurance carriers are going to be able to provide higher yields for these type of fixed annuity solutions compared to looking at those treasury and CD alternatives.
Thanks for sharing that. And that on face level makes a lot of sense, but can you dive a little bit deeper into why advisors are interested in this concept? Why might they be looking at utilizing a MIGA or multi-year guaranteed annuity as opposed to more traditional fixed income methods?
Yeah, I would say when I'm speaking with advisors and having a lot of end of the year conversations and beginning 2025 conversations, and what I typically bring up is looking at our multi-year guaranteed annuity page. This is on the website that you can be able to access and look at the whole list of fixed annuities that we have, ranging from 2-year products all the way up to 10-year products. And typically when I have these conversations with advisors, most advisors are looking at the 3 to 7 year mark. So typically what we do is we pull up the carriers that are preferred for that client case and situation, depending on state and age. And we just go to Fidelity just because they have a really easy website to just compare what we're getting to treasuries. And I think the most consistent reason a lot of advisors are utilizing these is most of our MIGAs are going to be around a 5% yield, which is guaranteed for a set amount of time, set it and forget it money. Versus if you look at Fidelity Treasuries right now for a 5-year bond, you're looking at about a 4% rate. So we're able to get a 1% higher yield on this product, and it's going to be guaranteed for a set time.
So taking away essentially interest rate risk kind of in a down interest rate environment, is kind of what I'm hearing. Correct, Logan?
Yeah, I would say that's a good thing that you're hearing. And also, I think the reason advisors are looking at this too is being able to lock in this higher rate for longer. I mean, the Fed's goal is to lower interest rates. That's supposed to be declining 2025, 2026, trying to get to that 2% target. So would you rather see clients that have a treasury decline over the next 4 years, or would you rather see a client getting a 5% rate that's guaranteed for that 4-year time frame?
Yep, well said. Makes a lot of sense. The other thing that I've heard just around our office and then through other advisors is just the difference in what a MYGA can do from a statement perspective. So I've heard the term an advisor mentioned, they use it as statement risk, simply meaning for the clients that might be the ones that look at their portfolio every day, notice something in the red. Do you have that problem with a MYGA, Logan?
No, I would say with MYGAs, you're avoiding that statement risk. A client's never going to see zero. And a majority, if not all of our MYGAs, do interest crediting daily. So clients are always going to see an uptick in that account. And I think from just a previous historical context, think about 2022. Bond yields were down and they saw negatives, first time in 40 years. Clients that are in the MYGAs, they never saw a negative and they saw strong rates and they were happy clients.
Well said. Well said. Probably giving back some time to some of our listeners, advisors who do get those calls when there's red in the fixed income marketplace. Great. Before we go to the next topic, Logan, can you give me an example or give our listeners an example of a recent client case or kind of what client profiles or what they should be looking for when discussing fixed income alternatives?
Yeah, I think the first example that I have that is very impactful for advisors is I see a lot of clients looking at CDs and high yield savings accounts. One of the cases that I'm looking at is a California client. They're looking at a high yield savings account of 3.77%, which is pretty strong compared to the treasuries that are yielding 4%. And one of the first questions that I asked the advisor just to confirm, is that high yield savings account guaranteed for X amount of time? And that answer is no. Meaning, yes, it can be 3.77 today, it can be 3% 6 months from now, it could be 4% 6 months from now. So with having that variability, it makes it a little bit easier for the advisors to figure out what that long-term game plan is because it's definitely not guaranteed. Versus if you're looking at one of our multi-year guaranteed annuities and the product they looked at specifically was Security Benefit, and they have pretty strong rates right now, about 5.25. So being able to provide about 0.5% more, and it's contractually guaranteed for that 4 years. And again, it's very easy for the client to understand. Basically, look at both numbers. What would you rather have? 5.25 guaranteed for 4 years or 3.77 and writing out the ups and downs of that. So being able to give client better peace of mind. And I think when it comes to looking at client profiles, these solutions are going to be great for all clients that are looking to beef up fixed income. I don't think it matters if the client's 40 or 80. These solutions are meant to help the fixed income side of the portfolio. These are not equity replacements. So I think it could be fit for any client. I would say the clients that I see this most commonly used with are clients that are de-risking in retirement to be a more conservative approach. I would say clients that are potentially naturally more conservative, they want that 50-50, 40-60 portfolio. This is a great opportunity for them. And also, I think one thing to think about too is the market's on a huge uptick. I think this is going to be top five all time for S&P 500 returns. So why not take some of those gains off the table and put it into a risk-free investment for the next 3 to 5 years?
Great. You did mention de-risking, which ties in well to essentially our next topic, which is de-risking portfolios. Of course, with the S&P being up and to the right over the past year, couple years, it's probably have a lot of client portfolios might be a little out of whack. So we are seeing a lot of advisors having discussions about de-risking portfolios, which is our next topic. There's a lot, I think, that our listeners would like to learn about. How can they, you know, essentially diversify their de-risking strategy? So instead of just utilizing equities and fixed income, are there other strategies out there that might be uncorrelated? Because as we've seen in the past, the diversification of just equities and fixed income might not always de-risk a portfolio as it has in the past. So I want to talk a little bit about risk diversification. Which types of solutions, Logan's, meaning what type annuity types are advisors looking at to de-risk those portfolios now that the equities had such a run-up?
Yeah, I would say to answer that, Cameron, the three chassis that we're really seeing as de-risking a client are going to be multi-year guaranteed annuities, fixed indexed annuities, and registered index linked annuities. And for all the listeners, the one thing I would recommend doing is if this is something interesting to you, reach out to your DPL consultant and ask them for the protected growth guide. That is going to be a DPL client-facing piece that actually goes into what I'm about to explain. So multi-year guaranteed annuities, as we spoke about, are CD bond-like alternatives. Risk-free money, set it, forget it for a certain term, and you're going to get that full rate. That's going to be our more focus to your bond alternatives. These are also going to provide 100% principal protection. The big brother, as I always call it, of multi-year guaranteed annuities is what's going to be a fixed indexed annuity. A fixed indexed annuity is going to provide 100% principal protection like the MIGAs do, like bonds do. Now, the difference with a fixed indexed annuity is you will have a fixed account, which again is guaranteed rate for that duration, but clients and advisors also have the opportunity to invest into the S&P 500 with a cap. The benefit of looking at a fixed indexed annuity is to be able to provide a client potentially more growth than what a multi-year guaranteed annuity or a treasury can do. And also keeping that client participating in the market because it's not timing the market, it's time into the market. We've all seen the chart on missing the best 10 days, 20 days, and 30 days of the market. And this is a way to keep that client invested while giving them peace of mind that this asset is principal protected. Then the big brother of a fixed indexed annuity is what's called a registered index linked annuity, or I hear some advisors talk about them as variable indexed annuities. A registered index linked annuity is a great solution because it provides more equity-like exposure, meaning you have more growth potential in a registered index linked annuity versus a fixed indexed annuity. But the beauty of it is you're able to provide different layers of downside protection, ranging from 10% to 40%. And for people who might not be aware of what downside protection is, the simple story is if we have a 10% buffer, if the market's down 5, that client is within the buffer, so their asset would be made whole. Now, for scenario 2, if the market's down 15% in a 10% buffer, their assets would be down 5 because it's past that 10% threshold. But you can reassure your clients you outperformed the market. Would you rather your money be down 5% or 15%?
Great. Thanks for the product type. So I mentioned a little bit, obviously, the obvious answer of why advisors are interested in de-risking portfolios today. But can you give me, in your words, why this conversation is coming up more and more with advisors just about, hey, how can we diversify our essentially de-risking of our portfolios?
I would say the reason a lot of advisors are coming to the table with these type of questions and looking at de-risking is one, the gains that have been in the market, being able to take risk assets off the table and put it into a more conservative investment for their lifestyle. As well, I think the big impact is too, is we're getting about 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day. So de-risking those portfolios day in and day out to make sure their assets are protected so they can leave the wealth for the next generation is very impactful for them. And I think the most recent client case that I had that we were looking at fixed indexed annuities, and this was a client with qualified dollars. They wanted a fixed indexed annuity to provide principal protection into that strategy. And this advisor only pulls out RMDs on qualified assets, and a majority of our fixed indexed annuities allow RMD withdrawals. So this is a great way to reduce that equity exposure, lock in those gains that they did from the past 20 or 30 years of investing into the market, and providing them a better peace of mind when it comes to that equity exposure.
Okay, that makes sense. Something that I have been thinking about recently is as more and more clients and the public gets familiar with what I would call defined outcome solutions. So like buffered ETFs or structured note strategies, I think it will become more commonplace for those types of strategies to find their way into clients' portfolios. It sounds like to me, like the registered index linked annuity would be a good alternative to those other defined outcome type solutions in the marketplace. Would I be accurate in my thinking there?
I would agree to that just because I've actually been comparing buffered ETFs to registered index linked annuity products typically buffered ETFs are going to have an expense ratio versus our accumulation registered index linked annuities are going to have no cost. So that's a win for a client on less cost. And also typically we can provide about a 2-4% cap difference, meaning that there's 2% more growth opportunity in the annuity. And I think also one thing people forget is you get the tax deferral benefit of the annuity too. So if you're trying to keep this client in a buffered ETF strategy for a year and you take them out, yes, you got to pay Uncle Sam all of those gains versus you can keep that tax deferral status in an annuity and only have to pay Uncle Sam on those distributions.
Yep. Thanks for sharing that. I think that makes a lot of sense to our listeners. And I like your quote of saying it's not timing the market, it's time in the market. I see those types of solutions, particularly the RILA and fixed index annuities, as being great vehicles for advisors to introduce better, more efficient solutions, a way of de-risking moving forward. So moving on to our last topic, I want to discuss and have a conversation about advisors wanting to generate more efficient income for their portfolios. I know that's a big topic here at DPL and one that I think tends to continue to gain traction, particularly as advisors get more familiar with the academic research out there. As they have more and more baby boomers retiring every day, it's become commonplace. So I guess we'll start with just what type of annuity products are you having conversations about efficient retirement income about?
I think the beauty of the annuity suite that we have to offer is we have about 80 products to offer, and we can cover the full spectrum when it comes to retirement income, meaning you can look at variable annuities, registered index linked annuities, fixed index annuities, and MIGAs all to generate income streams. I think when it comes to figuring out on that spectrum of which client should go with what solution, a couple things come into play. One, what are we solving for? Are we solving for an income gap after Social Security, pension, and other needs? Or this could be something like, hey, I currently have a pension case and I'm wanting to retire. Can an annuity provide more efficient money for me than my current pension? And when it comes to those pension cases, a majority of the time we can do better for their clients, which I think that's kind of shocking just because, I mean, from what I've heard about my grandparents and a lot of people that have pensions, they were pretty strong. And it seems like that has definitely reduced as modern times have continued. The other thing that I think is important is when are they going to take that income? Is this an income now case that we're talking about? Are we talking about a 60-year-old that's wanting to wait till Social Security kicks on at 67? So there's a lot of things that come into play when talking about retirement income cases. And I think it's best to just reach out to your consultant, just because we have the tools on the DPL website to look at fixed income comparisons, just to see what's going to be most efficient for that client. And the beauty of it too is we can tailor it to that risk tolerance. If we have a conservative client, we have those conservative options. If we have a client that wants to take on more risk before taking income, great, we have those solutions too. Again, we have every flavor under the sun to meet that efficient income need.
Yeah. So for the listeners not familiar out there, head out to dplfp.com. As Logan mentioned, there are some tools you can utilize yourself. But as always, we have consultants that can help you navigate as you give them more details about that specific client case. So you talked a lot about pensions, Logan, which made me think of a conversation I had with an advisor a while back, and that they did not want to be a pension manager. And I think where they were coming from is they're used to building portfolios that are accumulation, right? Most of the industry is kind of focused on accumulation, accumulation, accumulation. Now with so many people coming into retirement, particularly the baby boomer generation, what would you say, how beneficial are the tools and DPL solutions to help keep that mindset of, hey, you as the advisor don't have to be a pension manager. You're not having to worry about reallocating and repurposing assets. Could you talk a little bit about that and that quote, if it makes sense to you, how beneficial it is to utilize a guaranteed income solution for that reasoning?
I think the best example that I have was a recent client case that we were looking at, and we're looking at solving for around $2,300 of income a month. Now, this client currently has two annuities, so we're looking at those two options as 1035 options. The reason we're looking at those two annuity firsts for 1035 options is because they're already in an annuity chassis. Clients are already familiar because they have income riders on those solutions. And so we're looking at creating a more efficient income stream for them. So with looking at the results, we, with those two annuity solutions, were able to solve for around $19,000 of income annually. And for this client case, the annual income goal is $27,600. So there's still a little bit of a difference. Now, the beauty of this case is the advisor asked me, well, I don't know if I want all of the money in annuities just because this is about 40 to 50% of that client's portfolio. And that is a lot. And I could see how advisors would be concerned about it. And the question that I posed to the advisor, and I think it really clicked with them, was if we have this income stream solved for of 19 grand, that's only a little bit of money you have to pull off the top every year from the portfolio. Or option two is let's look at a secondary annuity to solve for that rest of the withdrawals. So all of those premium dollars are solved for a lifetime income stream. So 50% of the money is solving that lifetime guaranteed income stream. Now the advisor can do what they love to do and take that extra 50% of their money, invest it into the market, and be able to leave a better generational legacy for this client and their beneficiaries.
Understood. So basically, it was a conversation around efficiencies of what an annuity can do for guaranteed income. And at the end of the day, a withdrawal percentage and plan versus just kind of a portfolio by itself. And for our listeners not familiar, there's tons of research on DPL, tons of articles, webinars, podcasts, even academic research that have to discuss that topic of the fact that an annuity, a dollar going to an annuity, can generate more retirement income than traditional fixed income. And it all comes down to mortality credits and what the carriers are able to do that portfolios can't do by themselves and the risk pulling of assets. So sound like it clicked for that advisor, Logan, and hopefully you are able to get that client a great solution, make everyone comfortable, including the client and advisor. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up here, Logan. I want to thank you for being one of our consultants, being on the desk and sharing your insights that you're having and conversations you're having with advisors day in and day out. Before I let you go, any last thoughts?
The last thoughts that I would have is if you're listening to this podcast all the way through, reach out to your DPL consultant. And I think for this conversation that we had today, Cameron, about game planning for 2025, just ask for that protected growth guide, just because I think it's a very good piece. I think it's a very easy way for advisors to understand how these annuities can fit into the chassis for their clients to provide either more income, better returns on their fixed income portfolio. And I think that's the easiest starting point. So reach out to your DPL consultant, ask for the protected growth guide, and just have a conversation.
Well said. Well, Logan, again, appreciate you being on. Appreciate you sharing your insights and the conversations you're having with advisors. To all our listeners out there, thanks everyone for being with us today. And again, let's connect at dplfp.com and subscribe for more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks, everyone.
See you, Cam.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.
Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Fixed index annuities are not a direct investment in the stock market. They are long-term insurance products with guarantees backed by the issuing company. They provide the potential for interest to be credited based in part on the performance of specific indices, without the risk of loss of premium due to market downturns or fluctuation. Although fixed index annuities guarantee no loss of premium due to market downturns, deductions from your accumulation value for optional benefit riders or strategy fees or charges associated with allocations to enhanced crediting methods could exceed interest credited to the accumulation value, which would result in loss of premium. They may not be appropriate for all clients. Interest credits to a fixed index annuity will not mirror the actual performance of the relevant index.